there to swing. Do-ah, 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 do-ah. It don't mean a thing. All you got to do is sing. Do-ah, 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 do-ah. Oh, it makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm everything you've got. Oh, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-ah, 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 do-ah.
From the city by the Golden Gate, this is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio. Where the big bands swing. Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thanks, Dave, and welcome back once again to Yesteryear. On today's program, it's Suspense, starring Robert Young. But first, a half hour with comedian Fred Allen and The Fred Allen Show with special guest star Carmen Miranda from March of 1946. Fred Allen popularized topical political humor and was recognized by John Steinbeck as, quote, unquestionably the best humorist of our time, a brilliant critic of manners and morals. Widely recognized as the comedian's comedian, Fred Allen was a radio staple through the 1930s and 40s, and his Allen's Alley sketches remain radio classics. Guest star Carmen Miranda was born in Lisbon, Portugal, but achieved fame as the Brazilian bombshell. From March of 1946, it's Fred Allen. Today, Fred visits Allen's Alley and asks the question, have the radio, the comics, or the movies had any harmful effect on your children or you? Carmen Miranda sings Chattanooga Choo Choo and performs The Banana Man's Lament with Fred, while the DeMarco sisters bring you Oh, Minnie Lou. From March of 1946, it's The Fred Allen Show on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Tom. I miss the shadow notes, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Mr. Allen is correct. Stand by for the giant jackpot, kiddies.
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guests, Miss Carmen Miranda, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And when I'm not masquerading as Senator Claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar.
As the hours began to last, she got busy and bought her a ticket and packed her overnight bag. Oh, Minnie Lou, Minnie Lou, took to the city, told her loved one fine to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billboard, the world's foremost amusement weekly, published the results of its radio editors' poll. The program chosen by the radio editors as their favorite stars a man you all know well, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I'm glad that you mentioned the Billboard radio poll. You were selected as radio's newest star. Congratulations, Kenny.
Thank you, Fred. The radio editors have been very kind to me.
Mr. Allen!
Hey, Portland. Now for some funny stuff, eh, Portland? Gonna show me up, huh?
I don't think I get funny till the next page.
Oh, you don't think you do? No fair peeking ahead, you know. All the actors would quit if they knew what was coming. Well, you have some dull stuff first, you think. What is it?
Well, the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company says that girls who want to get married should go west.
Well, Horace Greeley once told the young men to go west. Why should the insurance company tell the girls to go west?
Maybe the men who took Horace Greeley's advice are getting lonesome.
Well, with all those Harvey girls out there. Well, that could be, Portland. And speaking of Mr. Greeley, let's stop Horacing around and start along to Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, at a recent meeting of the Child Study Association, a panel discussion was held on radio, comic sections, and movies, their place in the life of the child. And so our question tonight is, have the radio, the comics, all the movies had any harmful effect on your children or on you?
Shall we go?
As the two little fish said when they were being washed over Niagara Falls, what's to stop us? it's sure good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess the senator's in all right. I see footprints in the mint bed. Well, that's their footprints, too. He must have been in a hurry. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn's your name. Senator Claghorn, that
I
is.
I know your name.
Son, I'm beaming tonight. I'm sitting on top of the world. The South Pole, that is.
Tell me, Senator, did the movies, radio, or comics have any effect on you as a child?
I didn't need no entertainment as a child.
No?
I laughed from the day I was born till I was 28 years old.
Yeah? What were you laughing at?
I used to sit on the Mason-Dixon line and laugh at them suckers going up north.
You never read the comics, huh?
I was crazy about Superman, but he let me down.
Well, how?
When I first saw Superman with his cape and that big S on his chest...
Yes?
To me, that S stood for one thing, the South.
Well, what turned you against Superman?
One day, he took off his cape.
And underneath?
Superman, that muscle-bound turncoat, was wearing a red Union suit.
So long, Senator. So long. Don't forget, Senator. Oh, I just noticed the senator's feet are flat. Let's see if Mr. Moody is still up.
Howdy, Bob.
just made it to the door. Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about the radio, movies, and comics affecting children?
I'll put it blunt. Radio's the worst.
Well, why?
Well, the radio's either singing at you, yelling at you, or telling you to buy something.
Well, has the radio caused you any trouble personally?
Yeah, twice. I was so mad I could have spit.
What? What happened?
Well, one time a fella says on the radio, he says, try Kramer's corn syrup.
And?
I poured some of that corn syrup on my corns.
Corn syrup on your corns?
Yeah, my feet were stuck in my shoes for 6 months.
Well, what else happened with the radio?
Another time a pig had appendicitis.
Pig had appendicitis, huh?
Yeah, I had the pig in the living room, laying on the lounge.
I see.
I was holding a cake of ice to her to ease the pain.
Uh-huh.
And a radio program come on. Young Dr. McGee.
Uh-huh.
Young Dr. McGee, he was going to operate on a society girl.
I see.
I says to myself, I'll follow young Dr. McGee and take out the pig's appendix at the same time.
Well, what happened?
Well, young Dr. McGee, he give the girl ether.
And you?
I give the pig ether.
Then?
Young Dr. McGee made the incision.
And you?
I cut open the pig.
Then?
Young Dr. McGee says, well, we're a little late, folks. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have a big surprise.
What did he have?
I don't know what young Dr. McGee had.
But the next day?
I had pork chop. So long, Dr.
Mr. Moody had bad luck with his swinectomy. Let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting maybe French O'Connor.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, have the movies, radio, or comics upset any children you know?
Movies only.
Oh, movies have bothered you?
Not me. My husband, Pierre, is susceptible.
Susceptible?
This is a word.
Oh, I see.
I'm hearing it on information, please.
Oh, you listen to information, please?
Only once, when Menasha Skolnick is a guest.
Oh, I see. And you say movies upset your husband, Pierre.
When he's seeing a movie, at night, Pierre is dreaming.
About the picture?
Incessantly.
Yeah?
One night, he is sleeping, a big smile is on his face.
Why was he smiling in his sleep?
Pierre is dreaming he is Gable, and Garson is catching him.
Oh, fine.
Another night, he is wearing to bed smoked glasses.
Smoked glasses? What picture had Pierre seen?
A walk in the sun.
Have you had any other trouble?
2 nights ago, all night, Pierre in bed is walking up and down.
What picture started Pierre walking?
The March of Time.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, you certainly have my sympathy.
But sympathy I couldn't sleep on. A new bed I'm needing.
A new bed?
Last night, Pierre is eating up the mattress.
He ate the straw out of the mattress? What picture had Pierre seen?
Thunderhead, son of Flicker.
That brings us to the tumble-down shanty at the end of the alley. A knock here should pay dividends.
Alack-a-day, Leon McDuff. Falstaff's here to do his stuff.
Minnesinger Openshaw, you have new jingles for us tonight?
You bait me, chum?
Yes, if you put it that way.
Have you heard, when the whale finished eating the albatross, he said I could use some dental floss?
No.
Or, a peculiar girl is my girl, Bridget. She'll walk on her knees to go out with a midget.
No.
How about this? My father claims he's found the elixir of youth. It's 6 parts gin and 1 part vermouth.
Now, wait a minute. Tonight, we're discussing the effect present-day movies, radio, and comics have on children.
Precisely. Need I say more?
You have a poem. What is it called?
The Younger Generation.
And how does it go?
Since the day the world began, at the advent of creation, parents have been worried about the younger generation. Prehistoric parents were the first to rant and rave, to predict their children's downfall with the coming of the cave. Parents since have fought off progress to protect their fond offspring from the automobile and bunny hug, movies, cigarettes, and swing. The modern child knows plenty. Parents, my advice to you is have a long talk with your children. You may learn a thing or two.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Fred Allen!
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Have you seen a little Spanish book around here?
Spanish and 250 easy lessons?
See.
Here it is.
Gracias. let me see. Buenos dias, dia dias, buenos dias, good day. Good night is buenas tardes.
What is that?
Oh, that's Spanish. Listen. Donde está el separadrapo su abuelo?
What does that mean?
Where is my grandmother's adhesive tape? If some Spaniard ever cuts his finger and his grandmother has any adhesive tape, I'll be sitting pretty.
But why are you learning Spanish?
Well, it's the good neighbor policy, Portland. I've just made a big deal with Carmen Miranda.
Gosh, Carmen Miranda, the Lucy Monroe of Brazil?
That's You bet. When Miss Miranda is going back to Brazil, she's taking some of my ideas with her. Everything is all set.
What happened?
Well, last week, Carmen Miranda was appearing at the Roxy Theater, as you know. I studied my Spanish book all morning. About 2 p.m, I went over to the Roxy to Miss Miranda's dressing room. Carmen Miranda?
I am Carmen Miranda.
Oh. Buenos dias, Senorita Miranda. ¿Cómo está usted?
Would you repeat that, please?
¿Cómo está usted? ¿Cómo? You know, ¿cómo?
But the only ¿cómo I know, Perry.
Perry, ¿cómo?
Yes.
But, Senorita.
Look, buddy, if you cannot talk English...
English? I'm Fred Allen.
Oh, Fred Allen, I'm so glad to see you. I thought you were some foreigner.
A foreigner? Why, I was talking Spanish, Carmen.
But my language is Portuguese, Freddy.
Well, aren't Spanish and Portuguese the same?
Oh, no, no. Portuguese is something like Spanish with a southern accent.
Oh, with a southern accent,
yes,
huh?
Yes, yes. In Spanish, we say, alô, alô, amigos. Que prazer em vê-lo. Como vai essa força? Que quer de novo no Brasil, you see?
Oh, and how would you say that same thing in Portuguese?
In Portuguese, we say, alô, alô, amigos. Que prazer em vê-lo. Como vai essa força? Que quer de novo no Brasil, you all.
You all. Well, I was merely trying to greet you, Carmen. In Brazil, how does a gentleman greet a lady?
Well, he sweeps his hat off.
Uh-huh.
He clips his heel.
Yeah.
And then he says...
Uh-huh. In Brazil, you actually have men who whistle at women?
Why not? Brazil has a navy, too.
Well, I guess it's the same all over. A sailor has to get on land before he really starts cruising. But tell me, Carmen, what have you been doing in New York this trip?
Well, I've been seeing shows, shopping, have a lot of fun, and you know something, I bought some new hats.
New hats? Yes. Well, you're famous for your hats. Who creates them? Lily Dache, John Fredericks?
Oh, no, no. A man named Houlihan.
Houlihan is a milliner?
No. Houlihan is a fruit store in 8th Avenue.
Oh, Houlihan is a... Houlihan is a fruit store, huh? Has a front door for a vest? I suppose when you buy a pineapple, Houlihan says, shall I wrap it up or will you wear it home?
Oh, Fred, you are so fun. You know, you are funnier than Abbott and Castellanos.
Abbott and Castellanos. Well, thank you, Carmen.
And you know something? I like you very, very much.
Well, I like you very, very much too, Carmen. That's why I'm here, to promote the good neighbor policy.
And the people here are very friendly to South American friends.
Oh, yes. We like your music.
And you like our dances, too, no?
No, yes. People everywhere are dancing, doing the conga. So you see, Carmen, we've adopted many of your country's customs, so you should meet us halfway.
How do you mean, Freddie?
Well, I have an idea.
Ready for your number, Miss Miranda.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Freddie, I'm just going across the hall to rehearse my song. Keep the door open anytime.
Well, thanks a lot, Carmen. Is it a new number?
No, it's a native Brazilian song that my old grandmother taught me when I was a little girl. I'll be right back.
I'll be waiting.
Vou explicar que é o Chatanuca Chuchu. Chuchu é um trem que vai me levar perto de alguém. Pois numa estação que passa o Chatanuca Chuchu, eu vou saltar, se vou mesmo se o trem não parar. E você pega o trem na Pennsylvania Station, a sua hora de estar. Pouco a pouco vai saindo da capital. Toma um cafezinho e tira uma pestana. E vão os renenegues lá em Carolina. Pro americano, trem vai reto de bar.
Oh, oh, bugle, bugle, chuchu, vai reto de bar.
Mas para o brasileiro está querendo sambar.
Bom, tiki, bom, bar, bom, bom, tiki, bom, bar, bom,
bom, tiki, bom, bar, bom, bom, tiki, bom, bar, pode ser sambista. Oh, oh, Chatanuca, velho ar. Vou encontrar com certo alguém que lá me espera na estação, um certo alguém. Aí os tu company fez, pois tem cara do sponsor três. Quero chegar, pois sei que lá vai ser pra lá de bom. Sou o Chatanuca, chuchu, anto, chuchu, anto, chuchu, meu ramo. O Chatanuca, 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 chuchu. O Chatanuca, 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 chuchu. O Chatanuca, chuchu, o Chatanuca, chuchu. Achá, 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 chuchu.
Bueno, Carmen. Bueno. Mucho grande. Bueno.
Thank you, Freddy. Thank you. Now, what's your big idea of making us better neighbors?
Well, the reason we know so much about South America, Carmen, in this country, is because we see all of those travelogues. You know, Brazil, Chile, Argentina. Now, if your people could only see North American travelogues, they would get to know us much better.
But where can we get travelogues of your country?
Well, I have written the travelogue, Carmen. You come with me. I'll take you on a trip around New York. New York. Our tour starts on Riverside Drive. We stop to point out an historic monument to our Brazilian guest. Carmen, this is Grant's tomb.
Grant's tomb?
The final resting place of a great Civil War general.
Fred, what's that man doing there marching with a sign?
Gosh, he's picketing Grant's tomb. Say, mister, what's the idea?
Flag on the name, send in the flag on!
Midtown Manhattan. Before us looms Radio City, modern Tower of Babel. Home of Mary Margaret McBride. Turning a corner, we find ourselves on 52nd Street. Swing Lane, the heartbeat of American jive. We peer through the window of one of the many clubs that line this famous street, and we're in luck. A band is about to play. We listen. Say, doorman, what club is this?
The Union League Club.
I thought so. Arriving downtown, a seagull waiting for a red light in the street tells us we are at the famous New York waterfront. Scurrying up and down the harbor are the busy little tugs guiding ships, pulling scow.
Fred.
Yes, Carmen?
Look at that little tug over there. He's all alone.
That's right. No other tug seems to go near it. I wonder why. I'll ask. Hey, little tug! Why are you all alone? From the waterfront, we cross town and pass New York's largest bus terminal. We see a greyhound leaving the terminal for Boston. Next, we come to Greenwich Village, famous artists and poets colony. A wild-eyed lady poet in a torn beret and a dirty smock is reciting her latest poem.
Farewell, cruel world. I'll end it all. I've drained life's cup. 'Twas bitter gall. My burden's too heavy for me to bear. I can't find nylons anywhere.
As the lady poet passes her beret, we hastily turn up an alley and find ourselves on the Bowery, haunt of derelicts who have dedicated their lives to drink. A beaten one looks up from the gutter and says,
Hiya, Fred.
Well, hello, Mr. Milland. I thought you'd given up the stuff.
I was driven back to it, Fred. I was on Jack Benny's program tonight.
Leaving Mr. Milland clutching his Oscar, we see that night is falling, and as the even sun slowly makes its way through the Holland Tunnel to sink in Jersey,
But, Freddie, I thought to have a travelogue ended with a song, you know, all the natives singing.
Well, mine does too, Carmen. I have a song we both can sing. And It's a song all South America will understand.
South American rhythm?
Yes, it's called The Banana Man's Lament.
Hit the boys!
That is, I'm a poor banana peddler, but I'm sure no whiz. I've got lots of bananas, but I cannot sell. And my whole banana business is going to Yonkers. Cut rate, closing out bananas.
Listen to me, Freddy, what the Carmen say. You've got to sell bananas the Brazilian way. You got to shake your maracas, got to get in a groove. You got to spray them in face and make the rest of your move. Ay, 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 ay.
Banana.
Brazil, that I will sell banana.
The Brazilian way, she said. Hell, what can I lose? I'll try it. Ay, 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 ay.
Ay, 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 ay.
Cosi, cosa.
Cosi, cosa.
Abigazoon.
Abigazoon.
Your father's mistake.
Your father's
Thank you, Miss Miranda. Your advice was swell. Today I sell bananas and the tarantulas as well. I'm the big time operator. I'm just rolling in the dough since I started selling bananas on the radio. Stand by for the most important radio announcement of the entire century.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Allen Fruit Company would like to introduce you to Jose Banana.
I'm Jose Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. When they're black with the brown and have the golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you.
You can put them in a salad
with mayonnaise.
You can put them in a pie.
Hi.
Any way you want to eat them,
with or without the skin,
it's impossible to eat them.
But remember,
bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put bananas in the refrigerator.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
No,
no, no, no.
No, no, no. Definitely not.
I should could choo 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 fast as I could take a choo choo.
Love, 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 just the way I wanna love ya. I'm gonna try, try, try to
thank you, and good night.
Good night.
From March of 1946, there's the Fred Allen Show with special guest star Carmen Miranda. In a moment, it's Suspense, starring Robert Young with You'll Never See Me Again, as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, sir, and welcome back again to Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio. As our program continues, it's a special episode of Suspense, starring Robert Young with You'll Never See Me Again. Suspense debuted in July of 1940 as an Alfred Hitchcock-directed episode of the CBS audition series Forecast. The series later established itself as radio's longest-running, highest-quality mystery anthology, airing from June 1942 through September of 1962 on CBS. On today's program, it's You'll Never See Me Again, starring Robert Young. Several years before beginning his long run in Father Knows Best, Robert Young starred in the thriller by Cornell Woolrich. One of the finest mystery authors of the 20th century, Woolrich wrote tales of psychological terror that critic Anthony Boucher described as the everyday gone wrong. Ideally suited for radio, Woolrich's stories influenced Suspense's format more than any other author's. Some 31 adaptations of his stories graced the Suspense airwaves. Today, from September of 1946, it's You'll Never See Me Again, starring Robert Young in Suspense.
And now, Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Robert Young as star of You'll Never See Me Again. Suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear. And now, Robert Young in a remarkable tale of suspense.
So, you're walking out on me.
What does it look like to you?
Like you're walking out on me? Got everything you need?
Well, at least I'm glad you're showing your true colors. I'd rather have found it out now than later.
Didn't take you long, did it, baby? You're looking for your coat. It's in there.
Thanks.
Need any money?
I don't need anything from you, including your wedding ring. Here. You know what you can do with it.
Sure. Hawk it. Well, pick a nice, quiet hotel.
I don't have to pick a hotel. I'm no orphan.
When you get good and sick of it, come on back. Maybe I'll still be here.
You'll still be here. You'll never see me again as long as you live.
You'll never see me again as long as you live. You'll never see me again as long as you live, she said. If I'd known then what I know now, I guess that wouldn't have sounded so funny. All right, maybe I'm not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, but it's perfectly natural for a couple to have at least one good fight after they've been married nearly 3 months. I just wasn't going to be the first one to say uncle, that's all. Still, you don't wait around forever when your wife walks out on you, even if you are playing hard to get. So the third evening, I put in a call. I knew all along she'd head for her mother's place. Anyway, she practically told me where she was going when she left.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is this Mrs. Alden?
Yes.
This is Ed. Janet's husband.
Oh, yes. How is Janet?
Well, isn't she there with you?
With me? Why, no. Isn't she with you?
No. That was all I needed to hear. I grabbed my hat and headed for the bus station. That was the only way she could have possibly gone to her mother's place at that time of night, by bus. First, I wanted to find out if there was anybody who could positively identify her as having left. The guy at the ticket office wasn't very bright.
To West Hampton? Well, seems like I remember somebody like that.
It would have been Monday night, just about this time.
West Hampton Monday night, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe. I couldn't be sure, though.
Never mind. Give me a ticket.
Where to?
Where do you think? West Hampton. She was blonde, blue eyes, good looking.
Well, sure, I remember her.
Where'd she get off?
I think it was West Hampton. Well, good night.
We're closed for the night, mister. Pumps are all on.
I just want some information. Can you tell me where the Aldens live?
Alden? Oh, yeah. They're those new people.
Yeah.
Well, you go up the crossroad there, you turn to your left, go on down the hill, and it's one, two, three, let me see. No. It's the fourth. Fourth driveway on your right.
Did anyone ask you how to get there last Monday night?
We're closed Monday, sir.
Oh.
Fourth driveway on your right.
Somebody lost their way.
Yes?
I'm Ed Bliss, Janet's husband.
Oh, yes. Come in, Ed. I've been looking forward so much to meeting you. I wish it could have been under different circumstances, though.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, that's
I haven't
true.
Heard
hey,
anything
I've
yet.
Nothing to worry about. No.
I can't understand it. It's not like her to do a thing like that. Ed, I want you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Farley. We were just playing a little bridge.
How do you do?
This is my husband, Joe Alden. I guess that makes him your stepfather-in-law, doesn't it? Joe, this is Ed Bliss.
Pleased to meet you, Ed.
Well, I guess we'd better be going.
Oh,
yeah, I guess we have.
I certainly do hope that your wife...
I wouldn't worry about DeVarney.
Oh, you heard about it, did you?
Well, Ed, you see, they dropped in a little while after you phoned, and we thought it was all...
That's all right.
Well... Thanks for asking us over.
We'll come again real soon.
We'll do that. Well, good
night,
all.
Good night. Thank you.
Goodbye. Oh, Ed. I hope you didn't mind about them.
Well, I didn't think it was necessary to... Oh, it's all right. It's okay.
Well, then, come on into the living room and tell us about it.
Well, there's nothing much to tell that you don't know, is there?
No, I suppose not.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Can't I get you something to eat?
No, thanks.
Or some coffee or something?
I think I'll pass up the refreshments this time.
Well, I know how you must feel.
Yeah, I guess you do.
But I still can't. I just can't.
You painted this room lately, haven't you?
Yeah, what about it?
Nothing, it just looks a little funny, that's all.
You think so?
And that brick wall in front of the house is kind of new, too, isn't it?
You know I'm a bricklayer by trade, don't you?
Well, now that you mention it...
Would you... How can you talk about when...
You better go on upstairs, Laura. Yeah, she's taking it pretty hard.
Yeah.
You seem to be bearing up all right, though.
You haven't lost any sleep over it yet yourself, have you?
I'm not her husband.
Yeah, this isn't getting us anywhere. What was that?
Laura, I guess she's going to bed.
Oh. Well, I guess I better be going down and get that last bus.
How about staying overnight?
No, thanks.
Suit yourself. Oh, wait a minute. I'll put the porch light on.
I can see.
That's better. By the way, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
I suppose you and Janet had a row.
What's that got to do with anything?
I hear you got kind of a temper. Were you a little too quick with the flat of your hand?
What's all this for? The benefit of the neighbors?
It might be. Have you notified the police yet?
No. And I don't like the way you ask questions.
Okay, okay. Want me to walk down the bus with you? It's pretty dark.
Maybe that's why I'd rather walk down there alone.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Ed. I think you got me wrong.
All right, maybe I have. Say goodnight to Mrs. Alden for me.
Yeah, let us hear from you.
Don't worry, you'll hear from me, all right. It was still plenty dark when I got back to town, but I took the shortcut at the corner just the same, a path across the vacant lot. Between the lot and my house, there's a hedge. I was just going through it when I stopped cold. There was a light on in my house, only it wasn't a regular light. It was the beam of a flashlight moving past the living room window. That could only mean one thing. Cops. Of course, it was Joe Alden that tipped them off. I just waited and then heard the front door open and close. I saw two men standing outside. And one of them went up the street. Pretty soon, I heard a car drive off. The other man was just a shadow then, standing by a tree in front of the house. You could see he was expecting me to come from the other direction. I stepped through the hedge and went over to him. Would you be looking for anybody in particular?
I might be. Who are you?
Ed Bliss. Who are you?
Detective Stillman, Bureau of Missing Persons. How'd you know anyone was looking for you?
Oh, I'm just bright that way.
Oh, yeah? Well, they like bright boys down at headquarters. Come on, let's go.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Robert Young in You'll Never See Me Again by Cornell Woolrich. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now, Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Robert Young, who, as Ed Bliss in You'll Never See Me Again, continues a narrative well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Stood there in the shadows watching my face, Detective Stillman of the Bureau of Missing Persons. I'd been expecting this to happen sooner or later, and now that it had, I was stunned for a moment.
Well, come on, bright boy. They're expecting us at headquarters.
Wait a minute. I want to talk to you. I'm in a jam.
Oh, you're telling me.
No, not the way you think. Will you come inside with me?
I've been inside. Say, what kind of a furnace do you have in your cellar, Bliss?
An oil burner.
The kind that turns on automatic with an electric cut-in?
That's right. Why, is there a fuse blown?
How'd you know there was a fuse blown?
Was that why you were searching my house with a flashlight? Or was it because you didn't have a warrant?
See, you really are a bright boy, aren't you? Well, come on, we're going down to...
Listen, I don't want to have any arguments. I want help, and I want it bad. Will you give me a break?
What kind of a break?
Oh, this is no place to talk. Will you come inside?
Okay. But you better talk fast and talk good.
Don't worry. The fuse box is right here. The flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
I always keep a couple of fuses on top of it. Oh, there they are. Let's go in the front room.
After you.
Okay.
Now, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, don't you understand? She's my wife. I'm scared.
Then why did you run out? Why didn't you tell the police?
Because at first I thought it was just one of those things. Anyway, I knew where she'd gone, back to her mother's.
How'd you know that?
Because I went down after her. Because all kinds of people saw her go. Bus drivers, ticket sellers. Only when I got there, she wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. How much life insurance do you carry on her, Bliss?
$25,000.
Wow, that's quite a lot for a $75 a week architect, isn't it?
Our mother paid for it, a wedding present. For heaven's sake, what do you think I did? Buried her in a cellar or something?
No. We know you didn't do that. We looked.
Oh, cut it out, will you? I love her. We've only been married 3 months.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Oh, give me a break. Listen, if you take me down to headquarters now, it may be hours.
Oh, it'll be hours, all right.
And in the meantime, if there's still a chance... But there's got to be. She's somewhere and she's in danger. I know it.
Yeah, how?
I tell you, I followed her down to her mother's place in West Hampton. There's a guy at the station who remembers selling her a ticket. The bus driver remembers her getting off there. And then she just disappeared.
Then what?
I went down to her mother's house. They hadn't seen her. But there's something funny about it. There's something funny about her mother and that stepfather. And there's something funny about the house. And about that room.
What room?
That living room of theirs. Listen, you've got to help me. Help me find her. You've got to go down there to West Hampton with me because I've got a hunch somehow that I'm the only one who can find her.
All right, Bliss. All right, I don't know why, but I believe you.
You do?
Yes,
you
and
go?
I shouldn't believe you either because...
Because what?
What was your wife wearing when she ran out on you on Monday night?
What was she wearing?
Yeah, sure. You must remember what she was wearing.
Well, she's wearing a gray flannel suit. Skirt and jacket, you know, pink silk shirtwaist, patent leather high-heeled shoes, and one of those crazy little hats.
Any baggage?
Yeah, a little tan suitcase.
You're sure of that?
Sure.
Well, that's why I shouldn't believe it.
Why not?
Because when you find somebody's clothes around, you usually start looking for the body right nearby.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, they weren't burned up because that fuse had blown. But we found every one of those things in the furnace down in your cellar about 20 minutes ago.
When he said that, I knew there wasn't much time. But he was going up to West Hampton with me anyway, and that was the main thing. Of course, first he had to rout out the bus driver and the ticket seller and check my story with them just to be sure I wasn't trying to pull a fast one. But that was all right. I expected that. Then we climbed into the police car and headed out to West Hampton. He believed me now, all right. That car couldn't have been pushed any harder if I'd been driving it myself. Still, it was broad daylight when we got there. We parked the car a little ways down the road and walked toward the house. See what I mean, Bert? Take that brick wall, for instance.
Well, what about it?
It's new. What did he build that for? It's not tall enough to hide the road. Not even tall enough to keep a dog out.
What did he build it for? Well, maybe he built it to keep in practice. Come on, let's go in.
Awful quiet.
Yeah, well, why not? They're probably in bed, and that's where I would be if I hadn't let you talk me into this.
Listen, Bert, you don't think I...
I'm here, ain't I? Go on, ring the bell.
No answer.
I'll keep trying.
Shades are all down. I don't think...
Well, come on, let's try the back door.
Shades are down on this side of the house, too.
Huh?
Look. The garage is empty.
Yeah. Well, I guess our birds have flew to coop, all right.
Bert, I don't like...
Come on, we'll try this back door anyway. Oh, it's locked.
Here's an axe.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me try my keys. Oh, nuts. Ah, there, I've got it. This is the way to the front of the house?
I guess so, I've never been back here.
Yeah, this is it. Here's the front hall.
There it is.
What?
The room. The living room I was telling you about.
Well, what about it?
Snap on the lights.
All right, I still say, what about it?
I don't know, but don't you get something funny about it?
No, what?
The lights. Or something about the fresh paint. The rug. There's something, though. I know there is.
Oh, come on. We're wasting time. There's something screwy about the whole joint.
We went over the place from top to bottom. I wanted to get back to that room, and time was awful important. But Bert Stillman wanted to look into everything, which was only right and natural. Then we ran into something that was just about the last thing I expected.
Say, what's the store here?
I don't know. I thought we covered everything on the ground floor before.
Locked.
There must be some sort of back bedroom.
The keys won't fit this one.
Funny, the only room in the house that was locked.
Yeah, well, maybe we've got what we're looking for. Give me that axe.
But, Bert, don't you see? If she was here and then gone, they must have taken her. She's probably...
Uh-oh. Oh, who's she?
Mrs. Alden.
Your wife's mother?
Yeah.
Say, where's your daughter?
Please.
Come on, where is she?
I don't know.
Was she here?
Yes.
Where is she now?
I don't know.
Did she leave with your husband?
I don't know.
Why didn't you tell me she was here the other night?
Joe told me not to. She was here. And the next morning, Joe told me she'd left. And this morning, he left her to go.
What did you lock yourself up in here for?
I knew when Joe left this morning that something terrible. And when you came, I was frightened.
Come on. Where? Why don't you get it? For some reason, the stepfather's put the snatch on her. We've got to put a call through to headquarters and get the highway patrols on the watch for him.
Well, what about her?
Oh, she comes along.
Please.
Come on.
Bert.
Yes?
There's something wrong about this.
You bet your life there is.
No, I mean, why would he do it? What motive would he
Let
have?
Let me worry about the motive. You worry about your wife.
And it's got some connection with what's wrong about that room, whatever it
Will
is.
Will you forget about the room? We've got to get
I want to look at it just once more.
Listen, listen. You want your wife back or don't you? There's no time to stand.
Bert.
I've got it.
Got what?
It's lopsided.
Don't you see? It's not on a square.
How do you know?
I'm an architect. Look, the lights aren't in the middle of the ceiling. The windows aren't in the middle of the wall.
So what?
The design of the rug is wrong. It's cut off too close to that wall. It's... Bert.
What?
That wall. That's why the room has just been repainted. That's why I built the brick wall in front of the house.
I don't get it.
One wall of this room is a dummy. Built out in front of the real one. That's why the room looks lopsided. That's why I built the brick fence, to get bricks without arousing suspicion.
Which wall?
That one. And Bert, it must be hollow.
Give me that axe.
You don't think that the janitor...
Yeah.
Bert, give it to me.
Yeah, get back. Get back. You hurt me. Get back.
Mrs. Alden. The janitor.
Answer me.
I can't get the bell open.
He couldn't have done a thing like that.
Hey, Ed.
Yes?
Didn't you say your wife was young?
23.
Well, then you can look. This is an older woman. Do you?
Oh.
You know her?
No.
Well, there's your motive.
Yeah.
But who could it be?
I don't know.
Well, she must know, the mother.
She can't even talk.
Say, Ed. Ed, you would know if she was the mother, wouldn't you?
Of course I would.
What?
No, I wouldn't. I never saw Janet's mother until I came here to the house Monday night.
Oh. Mrs. Alden. Mrs. Alden, answer me.
I'm not Mrs. Alden. That's Mrs. Alden.
It was just a question of time now, whether we'd get back there in time to stop it. It all fit together now. And what Bert didn't know, he got out of the woman on the way back.
Did you know Joe Alden before?
No. Not before I came to their house in Eastport to take care of her. I was her nurse, and Joe and I... Well...
Who got the idea to kill her? You or Joe?
He did. When he saw me giving her a sedative one, she was pretty sick.
Premeditated, eh? Why did you do it?
Money, of course.
She kept a lot of bonds around the house. That's what Joe wanted.
Is that why you moved from Eastport to West Hampton?
Yes. Nobody knew us in West Hampton. We moved in at night. They thought there was only the two of us. They thought I was the real Mrs. Alden.
When did he do it?
About a week after we got there. One night. By morning, she was where you found her.
We were doing better than 80 most of the way, but I still didn't think we'd make it. And naturally, Bert was afraid to put the local cops around the house for fear Alden would spot them first and take Janet away. And do it somewhere else. If he hadn't done it already. Because Bert had the picture cold now. Janet had come to the West Hampton house and found her mother was missing before Alden had been able to make his getaway. So Alden had to kill Janet, too. He knew where he was taking her because of the clothes in the furnace of my house. That was the tip-off that Joe was going to try to plant it on me. The only break I had. At least I knew where to look if I could get there in time. At the outskirts of town, we picked up a police escort. Bert made them lay off when we got near the house. We drove up the side street and parked a little ways off. We walked up to the house. There was a car in front of it.
That Alden's car?
Yes.
All right. Now, you're coming in with this lady, but the first sound out of you and I'll shoot, and I mean that.
I know.
Got your keys, Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah, quiet. Look. Look, there's a light.
That's the door to the cellar.
Come on.
Digging.
The lights have gone out. He must have heard. on, let's go.
There he is.
Ben, why you?
Hey!
Hey. Ed, you shouldn't have done that.
He killed my wife, didn't he?
Switch on the light. Where is she? Maybe it isn't too late.
There she is. She's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, chloroform me. You smell it? Come on, get that cloth off her face.
It's too late. Can't you see?
Yeah, I'm afraid, Ed. All right. Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing carrying a gun, Ed?
I got a permit. Anyway, what's the use of asking questions like that?
Say, no. She's moving.
What?
She's alive. Here. Come on, Ed. Give me a hand, quick.
Ed.
Here, Ed. Come on, help me. Hey, Ed, where are you going? Put up your hands, Ed. Okay.
They're up.
Ed, you could at least have done it yourself instead of hiring a murderer.
What did you do it for, Ed? The money?
What do you think? For fun?
Go ahead. Talk.
Anything to make you happy. Would have been perfect if Alden had killed her when he first got her in the cellar like I told him to. Maybe he had a sneaking idea I was going to double-cross him. He was stalling until the last minute. I don't know. Anyway, it won't do him much good where he is.
Mm. What'd you have on him, Ed?
The mother, his wife. I'd been up there before, alone. I knew he'd killed his wife because I'd seen a picture that Janet had of the real wife. I spotted the room right away. Told Alden I'd split the money with him if he took care of Janet. And if he didn't.
Go on.
I knew I could pick a fight with Janet, and I knew she'd run up to her mother's. And I went up there to make it look good. After I left, Alden was to call the cops like he did. You'd take me down here to headquarters, and while you were giving me the old third degree, Alden was supposed to plant the body in the cellar. That way, I was in the clear, because you know I couldn't have done it while I was down here talking to you. You know she hadn't been there before because you'd looked. That's why I planted the clothes in the furnace, remember? So you would look.
Mm.
I had an alibi. Nobody had a thing on Alden, unless I squawked. He had to take that chance. Yeah, looked pretty good there for a while, didn't it?
Yeah. Your wife's outside. Want to say anything to her?
Huh? Oh, just tell her I said, you'll never see me again.
From September of 1946, there's Robert Young starring in You'll Never See Me Again, a radio play calculated to keep you in suspense. Well, no suspense left on today's program. In fact, that's all we have time for. But we invite you to join us again next week and suggest you invite a friend to listen as well to the best of the golden age of radio on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio. Remember radio? We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination.